You're probably wondering why a sermon on the gifts of the Spirit began with a song celebrating the love of the Father. Or maybe you haven't looked at the notice sheet, so you didn't know what the topic was. But there's a reason. As I was preparing the sermon last night, going through it again, I just sat there feeling nothing I had was right. Something in my spirit just went, no, this isn't the sermon. This isn't what you need to speak. And then that song played, and I understood why. You see, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, I think there's one aspect that we don't really talk about. It's not the gifts of the Spirit, it's the gift of the Spirit. You see, at a small group on Thursday, we were discussing how often people get worried about the Spirit and scared as though, oh, this is a little bit dangerous. And coming from that, I began to realize why. That is just so sad. Because the Holy Spirit is God himself. And he desires to give of himself. When you look through the Bible, you see a narrative, a grand narrative running all the way through from the Old Testament to the New. And you can break it up into three sections, really. First, there is God for us. The wonderful truth that the creator of the heavens and the earth does not give up on this rebel world, but rather says, no, I am going to find a way to reconcile it back to me. The God who fashioned us, who is the God who loves us, and he says, I will not give up on you on an individual level. I will not give up on this world on a global, cosmic level. No, I am God for you. But then we move to the New Testament, and incredibly, it comes closer. God for us becomes God with us. This creator God does not stand apart from his creation, but instead enters into it, shares our humanity. Imagine it. If you wanted to be with God, you could sit at his feet. You could listen to him breathe. That's how close God came to his creation. When God said he wanted to reconcile all things to himself, who on earth could have imagined he'd go this far? That he'd say, I am going to be with you. I am going to enter into this world and share your humanity. I will know what it feels like to be tired. I will know what it feels like to be strong. I will know what it's like when you're stressed and worn out. When you're burnt out and weary, I will know what it means to have a bad night's sleep and to have a good night's sleep. I'll know it. I will sympathize with your weakness because I've tasted that experience of humanity. Incredible. And then, I'd like you to turn, please, to John chapter 7. And we'll go to verse 37 onwards. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. God with us is wonderful. But then we come to God in us. There's a progression of intimacy running all the way through Scripture. God for us, God with us, God in us. How close is God? As close as the breath in your lungs. As close as the blood in your veins. So close that he doesn't just share human experience with us. He shares our human experience with us. He comes to dwell within our hearts, to walk with us every step of the day. When you are tired, he is there. When you are weary, he is there. When things are bleak, he's there. When things are great, he's there. That's how close he is. So wonderfully intimate that he shares every moment of your life with you. Whether you feel him or not, whether you have a sense of his presence or not, he says, this is how close I am to you. I am in it with you. Not just in theory, not just watching, but in it. In the hustle and the bustle and the everyday, I am in it with you. You see, the Holy Spirit is himself a gift. The greatest gift that God could ever give us. The gift of himself. Think about it for a minute. God loves you so much that he says, I give you myself. Not a distant thing, but here, I am in it. I want you to have me. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but really today, I just want to start by talking about the gift of the Spirit, the greatest gift. And that phrase shocked me when I first said it last night as I was going through the sermon, because so often I've done Christmas sermons where I talked about Jesus as God's greatest gift. And so when I used that phrase, my first reaction was, what? Wait. But in John 14, Jesus says he's going so that he can give the gift of the Spirit. Because the Spirit is closer, closer still. The cross, everything Jesus did through the cross, made a way so that the Spirit could then be poured out. Incredible, isn't it? The Spirit is the greatest gift because it is he is God himself. So often we settle for so much less than the greatest gift that God wants to give. In that song just then, we talked about how nothing is better. And I found myself reminded of C.S. Lewis. And if you're familiar with the Screwtape Letters, that was a book that influenced me massively. It was one of the first Christian books I read, to be honest with you. I've still got the original copy, and it's literally, I created an index in the back. I always was a geek. But in the Screwtape Letters, he's imagining a scenario where a junior demon is writing for advice to a senior devil. And so you always have to flip it a little bit. And here is what Screwtape, the senior demon, says about nothing. And nothing is very strong. Strong enough to steal away a man's best years, not in sweet sins, but in a dreary flickering of the mind, over it knows not what and knows not why, and the gratification of curiosities so feeble that the man is only half aware of them. In drumming of fingers and kicking of heels, in whistling tunes that he does not like, or in the long, dim labyrinth of reveries that have not even lust or ambition to give them a relish, but which, once chance association has started them, the creature is too weak and fuddled to shake off. The truth is, sometimes nothing is quite strong. We waste so much of our lives in nothing, as though nothing is better than him. And it's ridiculous. When you take a step back, you just sit there and think, that is so absurd. We have the gift of God's presence, the pearl of greatest price, the creator of the universe himself who desires to know us. And we act like nothing is better. We live in that nothing. And today, as much as talking about the gifts of the Spirit, I just felt God wanted to say, I have a gift that I want to give you. Not miracles and healings, and yes, all those things come with the gift, but the supreme gift is me. Yeah. I am the gift that I want you to have today. Yeah. I am tired of you making do with nothing and with second best, and I want you to have me. I want you to live in the fullness of me. Look at this passage here. It's one of the most beautiful. When I think of the Spirit, this is the verse I always go to. Because what a beautiful image of God the Spirit as a fountain of life welling up within our hearts and flowing out into the world around us. That is who God wants to be to us. And when Jesus used this image, the Israelites had a very powerful sense of what he meant. You see, they lived in an agricultural nation that was utterly dependent on the flow of water. And it was quite an arid environment. So the greatest thing you could find that was seen as a gift from God himself was a spring bubbling up in the middle of the wilderness. Because there, in a desert land, in a dry and thirsty land, you'd suddenly have abundance. A beautiful area. And as the water flowed from that spring, everything would live where it flowed. The Israelites saw springs and the water that flowed from them as a demonstration of God's goodness and provision. Because unlike a well, you didn't have to dig to get to it. No, it was the gift of God bringing life and abundance. And what we see in this passage is God saying, is Jesus saying, right, there is the gift of the Spirit that is going to well up within you and bring life. So often we quote Jesus saying, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The Spirit is how that life happens. Because the Spirit is the giver of life, bubbling up within us. Where he flows, we live. And God is tired of us living in a dry and dusty, arid state. He wants that abundant life that he always promised us. He wants that to be realized as we let the Spirit flow. Notice, though, that the Spirit doesn't just stay there. We don't just get filled up. We are filled to overflowing. Because out of us, rivers of living water. When water remains still, it becomes stagnant. The life, what should have been a place of life, it becomes a place of death. Because there is no flow happening. There is no giving. There is no movement. And we've been talking a lot this year about the importance of community and togetherness. The truth is, the Spirit flows. He bubbles up within us so that he can flow out of us to others. That's the way it must work. Otherwise, we become stagnant. And so as we talk about themes of togetherness and community, the challenge is, right, I want to get lost in the flow. I want the Spirit to flow through me into those around me, into my church, into my family, into my workplace, into the streets, into street pastors, into school pastors, into everything I do and everywhere I go. Holy Spirit, rise up within me and flow through me. That is what God wants to do. That is the gift of himself that he wants to give. Because then, how amazing it is. Because it's not just a gift for us. It's for all around us. The gift of God's presence. Why don't we do it? Why do we get lost? Why don't we get lost in the flow? I think sometimes it's fear. Because when you're lost in the flow, well, when I did my A-levels, we did river studies in the Lake District, and it had been raining a bit harder than was probably safe, but the teacher was convinced it was safe, and Mr. Gott, he was determined to demonstrate it. So he waded out into the river to show it was, and then, whoa! And he grabbed hold of a tree branch and had to pull himself out. And, right, let's scrap this bit of field work. It's not safe. Being lost in the flow of the Spirit is unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where that flow is going to take you. And we human beings, we like control. We like predictability. When I go shopping, the truth is, there's a bit of me that doesn't particularly want God to flow through me because I like to get the shopping done so that I can get on with my day because I don't like shopping. And so in that moment, am I open to the flow of God's Spirit in the first place? Am I wanting him to flow? Full confession, probably not at that second. When I'm in the middle of work and a situation comes up and I've got an article to write and things are going on, do I really want somebody else to be talking to me about their stresses? I'm busy. But hold on a minute. The Spirit wants to flow. I say I want the Spirit to flow, but I don't want to be inconvenienced. I want the Spirit to flow in my way, at my times, when it causes me the least hassle. And I'm not alone in that. We all of us slip into our day-to-day routines. And as that happens, we stop at the end of the day and think, oh, yeah, there was no abundant life in this day, was there? There was no giving out to people. There was just getting on with my day. And it was all necessary and all essential and all justifiable. But there was nothing of any meaning left at the end of that day. Nothing of any significance. Nothing of any abundance. Just nothing. God doesn't want that for us. He wants to flow. He wants us to let him do what he wants to do, to give up on our control, to be inconvenienced, trusting that he's the king of the universe, and therefore, if we're inconvenienced by it, he'll work it out. You know? I think that's one reason. There are other ones as well, though. I think one of the reasons, I put notes in far too many apps, one of the reasons is performance. We measure ourselves, we think, well, I can't do that. I'm not as good as that person. That person could do it. So-and-so could give that word. But I'm not like them. And so we measure ourselves against other people. And we think, yeah, but God just wants to flow through you and through me. The measure is not what Joe Bloggs down the street did, what that famous preacher did, what that miracle worker did. It's what God wants to do through you, how the Spirit wants to flow through you into your world. Performance doesn't matter. And it doesn't even matter if you get things wrong. If you say something and, oops, I just stumbled over the wording and I know what I meant to say. I can talk 10 to the dozen, but I know that feeling. So many times I'll come away thinking, should have said that. Missed that. That was an opportunity. If I'd said it like that, but all that matters is letting the Spirit flow. Just going with it. Going with him. I think sometimes, and this is one that I admit I struggle with sometimes, it's just that nagging sense of, well, it hadn't happened. It didn't happen then, so it's not going to now. I found myself thinking a little of how when I was a student at Edge Hill, there was a song being sung. We're going to be history makers by Delirious. And I sat back and I thought, yeah, it's very easy to beat myself up and think, well, I haven't really been a history maker, have I? I sang it lots of times. Listen to it. Did I? But hold on, again, I've got the wrong measure. You see, and this is something I think the Western Church really messes up with. We think history maker means, and I found my ministry, and I stood on a stage, and everybody knew my name, and I wrote a book. I wrote 50 books. And I had this international thing and my own private jet and all that malarkey. I tell you what, how many of those ministries fall apart? Because to be honest, they weren't lost in the flow at all. They were just doing what came naturally to them. They were very gifted people, but they were gifted beyond the character. And God says, right, what I'm calling you to do is to be faithful in the place where you are. To let my character grow in you. Use the gifts I have given you, not the gifts I've given them. Use the gifts I've given you in the place where you are. It's not about spectacle, and it's not about stages, and it's not about private jets. It's not about any of those things. Those are utter and complete distractions. God's way of making history is a wandering itinerant preacher in a backwater nation that most of the world overlooked, who's crucified on a cross and didn't even live beyond 33 years of age. And he changed the world upside down through the obedience of his son. And that cross stands 2,000 years later. That's how God works. He works in the small ways, in the inconvenient ways for us, in the ways that the world would overlook. He does the wonderful in the place where we are. He does the wonderful in Ormskirk. He wants us to get lost in the flow here, in the place that we're in. And here is where he makes history. How does God make history? One transformed life at a time. Stop thinking about the stages and the spectacles. When I was a child, when I was a teenager, I used to help out with Sunday school. And we had someone there who fancied herself as having the most amazing children's ministry. She had a vision of being an incredible woman for God and changing the nation's children and so on and so forth. There was just one problem. She couldn't work in a team because she was too excited about herself. It never happened. Nothing ever happened. The team struggled because of personality clashes. You could forget about the nation's children. We were struggling to do the small Sunday school. She had the wrong idea of what ministry looks like. Ministry looks like saying, right, I want to be faithful in the place where I'm in. I want God to tell me, right, what gifts have you given me that I can use in the church that I'm in the town that I'm in the community that I'm in, to change hearts and lives, to make history one life at a time. That's what he wants us to do. Forget the distractions. Those things may come, but if they do, they'll come because you've been faithful now, in the here and now. Don't get distracted with the history makers things and think, right, history is all about scale. The Bible shows a completely different picture of scale. The whole of heaven and earth is turned upside down through Jesus, the one who the world didn't esteem, the one who the world would overlook. The stone the builders rejected is the one he makes the cornerstone. So let the gift of God's Spirit come to you, bubble up in you, flow through you in the place where you are in. Don't limit, don't measure, don't do anything like that. Just ask God to bubble up and flow and trust him. Go with that flow. That's when we see the gifts of the Spirit demonstrated. And that's when they make a difference. Because they're demonstrated in the character of the Spirit as well as the gifts. In 1 Corinthians 13, we talk about that passage so much. And Paul says that if he speaks in the tongues of men and angels but doesn't have love, he's just a clashing cymbal. Just a discordant racket that you wish would shut up. What do we need? The character and gifts of the Spirit flowing in union. And then, wow, do we see hearts and lives changed around us. Not just because of the gifts, but because of the character that shows how the gifts are exercised. Then the power of God is revealed. Then we make history one life at a time. Today, I believe God has a gift he wants to give us. When we talk about the Spirit, we are not talking about abstract power. We're not talking about abilities and just efficiency and might and all those things. Yes, they come. But fundamentally, we're talking about God's desire to give the gift of himself to us. He is tired of us settling for second best. And frankly, he desires to give the gift of himself to the world in which we live as well. And that only happens when we receive the gift first, the gift of the promised Holy Spirit. He's already with us, but he wants more. He wants so, so much more. I just want to pray, and I don't know what I'm going to pray, and I don't know how long it's going to be, but I just want to pray. And I'd invite you as I pray, please open your hands. Our bodies are significant. What we do with our bodies matters. And opening your hands like this, it signifies emptiness and a willingness to receive. And as you open your hands, I'd invite you first to part your fingers, because they're we're signifying that whatever is already in your hands, you are letting slip between them. Imagine all the worries and the cares and the business of the day like sand that you'd picked up from the beach, and now you separate your fingers and you let that sand slide between them. And now bring your fingers together, asking God, fill them with what you want to be in my hands, nothing else. Holy Spirit, we come to you today, and we are tired of living with nothing. We don't want to while away our days in the nothingness of life. When there is something, when there is someone so much better for us. So today we empty our hands of the nothings that are just sand that slips away. And we want our hands to be filled with you, just you. We want to receive the gift of your Spirit more than we ever have before. Today, Lord God, I pray that your Spirit will be like a fountain of life welling up within us, bringing abundance, transforming our hearts, and flowing through us into the lives around us. We want to see our nation transformed. We want to see Ormskirk transformed. We want to see our friends and our families transformed. That is only done through you. That is only done through you. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we've settled for second best, for anything less than you yourself. Forgive us for the times when we've focused on performance, on the things we're doing, and we haven't got lost in the flow. Today, we ask you, Holy Spirit, come. Flow in and through us. Well up within us. Let us be a wellspring of life in this community, in our families, in our workplaces, in our streets. Let the river of your Spirit well up in our hearts and flow out of us into the lives of those around us. We don't want anything less than you. We want you, Lord. Shankilia manatra, kankilia tantilia, hiera manatra tan, chantkilia karakakandai, sia matra tantatilia haratan. Chankilia matra kantatilia, hiera manatra. If you speak in tongues today, I'd invite you now just to speak in tongues, to speak words from your Spirit